Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
All right, guys, let's get started. Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. And this is a new event. I don't know if it's new in church history, but it's definitely new as an idea of meeting as all ladies, but with one of your pastors here to give some instruction. Because usually we do girls with girls and guys with guys, which is great. But sometimes that paternal, fatherly, shepherding instinct just kicks in real strong, and I want to meet with you guys. And so I did not start tonight till Tammy was ready and comfortable and seated. And I appreciate everything she did today to make it a very easy day, because I've been studying and working all day and have grad school going on. So this is a crazy week, just all collided. I have a paper due too, so bear with me if my brain's a little fractured and neurons aren't firing right. But really, not just because it's a women's time, I really appreciate Tammy and all that she does, because I literally can just bury myself up in the office and the house works fine. I come down and there's a nice dinner and thank you, it was very good. And then everybody shows up and everything's awesome. So praise the Lord for your example as a godly woman. And I want to start when she was here, because it's a ladies' study. So Tammy's here for every reason to add any insight she has, to cut me off, raise her hand, throw something out there, say that's not how women think, give me a fist pump if we're going in the right direction, all that type of stuff. And knowing that this is our ministry to you, not mine. Good. So let's just jump right in, because the way the evening will work, we have the Q&A, Lord willing, at the end. But for these are kind of like, you know, down in the muck and mire Bible teaching, okay? So when we did our first one, Billy DeRuvel always thinks back to it as a pivotal moment for him and for our ministry. And it was like in our first or second year, and there only maybe 10 guys. And he always goes back to that night, because we really don't have a limit on what we're doing here. We're just going to dig in, get into the Word, and then later we'll have the first part will be more lecture, and then we'll have some discussion, Q&A, and things like that. So if anybody has a curfew, because I know it's the work week, that's fine. If you got to get up and go, totally understand. We're not going to go till midnight, but I am not going to be like, I'll be done in 35 minutes, because I meant to do 2 pages and I got 6. Okay, so that was 3 times the amount. So we're going to do the best we can. Advice. Yeah, I tried, honey, to take your advice. All right, so let's, without further ado, let's pray and get started. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I asked you and prayed that you would take tonight away, that I would not have to do a study tonight on these things. But Lord, according to your sovereign plan and your appointed time, you left it on the calendar, and not for a lack of a desire to meet with these ladies. I love them dearly as my sisters in Christ, but I know the seriousness of the moment, and I'm intimidated. And so I pray that you would give me a boldness, as you call your preachers to have, that you would give me faithfulness to the word, that you would help me to be a godly shepherd in love and sacrifice, that I would be poured out and broken before them to bring them the instruction of the word, and that they would be fed tonight and edified and grown, that you would give us a spirit of gentleness and compassion and hearts that are soft and open and willing to listen. Speak to your people, speak to your daughters tonight, and bring to them a word of instruction, as I said, that will edify and help them. We pray that tempers stay calm and pride is left outside of the house, and that the hearts are, as Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 36, soft and ready to receive the instruction of the word. So we commit this time to you and ask for joy in the midst of the challenge of digging into the word. We love you and thank you. Commit this time to you, and then we pray. Amen. 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 So whoever heard a pastoral prayer like that, and it wasn't a lie, if you have any issue with tonight, please see me. Don't walk out angry. Don't walk out upset. I'm certainly, I have none of those emotions. I'm excited to be with you guys. Like I said, preaching the word is a little intimidating, especially in a room full of ladies. But we're here because the Lord is faithful, and the Lord has called us to study and know his scriptures and commission men to preach. So I'm going to do that tonight. But if you have a problem with anything, please see me. You know, when Christ taught in the Gospels, what did the whole big group of disciples say? And I'm not Christ, but in keeping with that theme, he was preaching before the disciples kind of broke up and dispersed. What did they say after he was giving them some strong teaching? Anybody remember? He had a lot of disciples and it shrunk. And he's like, you're left, you, the 12. You know what the crowd said to him? They're like, this teaching is hard. this teaching is hard, and many left. And Christ then looks at his disciples, he's like, you guys are left, now you 12. So that's not my goal, is to rush people out of the house. But the teaching of the scripture is hard, and I wrestled and prayed and wrestled and prayed, and I decided not to teach on any of this, and wrestled and prayed more, and started working a lesson, and I'm teaching on all of this. So we're going to touch on everything tonight, all right, out of love and out of desire to shepherd your soul. So let me read a little intro to share my heart. I always do disclaimers. These aren't quite disclaimers, but it's my heart. You are doing well in your walk with the Lord. Very well. Praise God. You're a testimony, your example. But we have a weakness in the college career ministry that I really felt needed to be addressed and to be talked about. Not in a negative way, but in a let's grow way. Okay? I think, in a way, the guys and the girls have a different function in it. But sometimes I do see, unfortunately, the ladies kind of at the front of this, pushing this challenging issue we've got, which the guys aren't without blame either, because they're the leaders. So they should have already been doing what I'm doing in this seat, shepherding souls. You know what I'm saying? Not that it's good to have these type of studies, but I'm saying the guys should be exercising leadership, and I'm going to talk to them about that on Thursday as well. But here's let me tell you where we excel. As a college career ministry, you excel in many areas. You know, you excel in faithfulness to the local church. You're probably one of the most faithful. If you need a pen or a pencil, we got them up here. Feel free not to write, it's fine. I had extra Bibles and also pieces of paper if you want them. You excel in faithfulness to church attendance. You excel in church service. You guys serve in so many ministries. You set an example for the church in how to serve the body. You excel in prayer. You're probably one of the largest cohorts of faithful Wednesday night midweek prayers. You excel in theology. Some of you ladies, man, if you could hang out a little bit longer, my boy's a little older, make this work. Your theology is like rock solid. I know you think it's weird, sorry, but you're gems. You know the word and you love Christ. You are faithful and you excel in missions. Foreign missions, international missions, was spearheaded in many ways, not only by this group, but in a very significant way by this group and by people in this group, which is awesome. If you need coffee or water or anything like that, feel free to get up and get whatever you need. You guys excel in evangelism. You tell me all the time you're sharing your faith, you do the boardwalk evangelism, you're involved in that. You excel in serving the widows. It's a great ministry you guys do. But here is where we are weak and what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. We are weak, and I say this with all love and gentleness, in the abuse of Christian liberty. Okay, so if you're looking for a topic tonight, that's it. The abuse of Christian liberty. College career, sisters, we are abusing Christian liberty, and it's not a good testimony and habit for the church. Before I get into that, let me give you some more background. No one is pointing the finger at anybody tonight. Anybody in particular? I don't even think, he's talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking generally about everybody. Examples will come up because we're living in a real world with real experiences, and you guys put things out there. So when you put yourselves out there, in where? Like social media, right? Am I going to go like this? Right? Like an ignorant pastor that I don't see it? You put yourselves out there, so it's out there, so we're going to talk about some stuff. But nobody's pointing a finger at any of you in particular. One thing I want to mention, please take me seriously. This is my ministry to you, and I kind of made this appeal on Saturday to the career group based on 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll talk about with the college students. Just like a child in a father's house, like my sons and daughters, ought to weigh the instruction and hear it and benefit from it, they should think this way. They should know, this was the one, the daddy, to whom this child was given for discipleship. This was the one appointed for spiritual headship in that child's life. Likewise, understand that we all, okay, you and me, have been called to this. I didn't look for this. I didn't ask for it, but I've been called to it. I told you on Saturday, I'm a band director with a degree in music. I didn't look for this. I've been called to it. And you've been placed under it, under my discipleship, as well as the other pastors at Grace. So the point isn't for you to go, well, then I'm leaving the church because I don't like what you're teaching. No, because I'm not going to let you do that. That's not the goal. I don't want you to leave the church. That's not the idea. I don't want my kids to leave the house and be like, I want a different daddy. No, the point is that God did appoint you here and call you here. So listen, be sensible. Remember Randy's, Pastor Randy's Father's Day sermon? He talked about men being sensible. I want you to listen and be sensible. Learn and benefit and grow. You guys with me so far? Who do we got there?
Gary.
Hey, what's up, Gary? How are you? Good. There might be a chair over there, or you could just drop on the ground, whatever you want to do. Cool. No problem. So, like I said, God has placed us here, so I want you to take advantage of it. Like, I want my kids to take advantage of my fatherliness in the home. Not say, well, I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to go to a different dad. That's not a good decision. Take the pastors that you've got. Take the discipleship here and learn and benefit and grow. That philosophy class I taught about a year ago, remember that? And I hate to always go back to it, but it seemed to be a bit of a watershed moment in my ministry. There was great responsiveness, all pretty much very positive. But there were a few, very few. Some people, even here in this ministry, that dismissed it. They didn't listen. They didn't attend. They haven't checked out the sermons, even though I recommended it, because they didn't want to on purpose. And not because you forgot, but because you didn't want to and didn't agree with what I was teaching, even with maybe just one or two of the lessons, or maybe all of them. And what I'm trying to explain to you before we get started is that's not a mature attitude. Pulling yourself out from under teaching that you disagree with, listen, is a rebellious spirit. That's not an attitude for a sheep or someone under faithful instruction to be holding. Yeah, I just don't agree. You're too much with this or that. I'm not coming anymore. It is for you to say this. God has given me spiritual headship here in the church, discipleship, my pastors. I need that. So what can I learn here? How am I seeing things wrong? How can I grow in this area? Rather than being dismissive and saying, he's just way off on that. Wait a minute. Now, I say this in gentleness, but it's my obligation before the Word of God. Who's the pastor here? I need to say that. You aren't the pastor and haven't been given the charge to teach. You haven't studied over it. You're getting bold, Serge. Wait, listen. You haven't prayed over it. You haven't gone nearly sleepless nights over the scriptures. Literally. I've gone sleepless nights over the scriptures. You out of your mind to talk like that, Serge? No, Paul talks exactly like that. Read 2 Corinthians. You haven't been commissioned to teach the scriptures. You haven't watched these things I teach on destroy lives. You aren't projecting with discernment forward enough to see the dangers. Some of you are new in the faith. How many years have you been in the Lord? Or have you already arrived and you don't need the instruction? You probably do not know the scriptures the way your pastors ought to know them and do know them, precisely because the pastors are commissioned and gifted and called to know them and study them beyond normal and preach them beyond normal and carry them ahead of the flock, see Acts chapter 6. Not everybody said, I'm devoting myself to prayer and the study of the word. Who said that? The apostles and the pastors. Everybody can. It's for the pastors to devote themselves and study the scriptures and to know it and then to feed you. It's for the pastors to know more and to pray excessively and to feed your mouths with the word of God, to feed your hearts. This isn't arrogance, folks. This is roles and function, just like in the home. Now, don't answer this, but in case you're like, man, he's coming off real strong. Who has labored over this college career group of singles? Who meets with them when they need it, whatever they need? Raise your hand. I'm being rhetorical, so don't answer outright. But this you can. This you can. Raise your hand if you fast over the souls in this room. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you fasted over the souls in this room by name in the last month. Now, I'm not passing judgment here for not fasting. That's not my point. I'm making a case for my ministry to you. Now, I'm not raising my hand, but the gigantic silence is supposed to inform you that I could raise my hand and would raise my hand, but I'm not going to because I think I'm making my point. Isn't he bordering on bragging? Right? No, did not Paul make the same argument to the Corinthian church that was rejecting him? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I don't sleep to bring you the Bible. Paul said, I have known hunger and thirst and have gone often without food. I don't eat to see you mature in Christ. Do you understand that, sisters? Daughters in the faith, I deprive myself of food so that you can grow. See also Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5. So don't tell me that there are souls that love you and I haven't loved you. Or that there are people shepherding you that know better and that I don't shepherd and I don't know. Because I will stand with any of those, just like Paul did those false teachers, and lay waste their claims. Because I do love you. And I have shown you that time and again. Don't mistake this for looking for accolades. I'm not looking for accolades or a pat on the back. What makes me the happiest? Transformation. I am looking for transformation. I am looking for your conformity to Christ. Discipleship. That's all I want. I don't have ulterior motives. Here's the second point. So the first one, background thought, was take me seriously. It's my ministry to you. Second thing, please stop cherry picking my instruction from the Word, only to take just the things which suit you, like you're taking my teaching a la carte. I've kind of been feeling that a little bit. You ought to not accept and cherish my teaching on Calvinism. I could do like a 5-point Calvinism with you ladies, and like I always joke, you'll add a 6-point. You're so good with it. You're like, yeah! But then I get to modesty, and it's like, well, maybe you'll yes it, affirm it publicly, but you don't like that. That's uncomfortable. You accept my teaching on holiness, but not on feminism. You accept my teaching on prayer and Bible study and evangelism and all sorts of theology, and you're like, woo, woo, woo. End times, right? You love, but you don't accept my teaching on the dangers of the holistic nutrition craze. No, that he can't touch. My teaching on the dangers of social media, the dangers in movies, the dangers in casual drinking, the dangers in worldly behavior. That, all of a sudden, now it's a la carte. You don't want to take that. You should heed my instruction. Listen, all of your pastor's instruction, not because we're perfect, but because we're, listen, not because we're perfect, but because we're proven. Did you hear that? Proven, faithful servants, trustworthy. See Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through 12. I was reading this afternoon. I'm like, I should just read them, those three chapters. He literally does literally what I'm doing to you right now. He starts listing what he's done, and he says, let me boast in my weakness. And he boasts about sleepless nights, persecution, fasting, on and on, getting stoned. He boasts in his weakness. He's like, how much I desire Christ in you, and I haven't done anything to you, but served you and sacrificed for you. So that's why I'm bringing you the same type of exhortation, is heed our instruction as your pastors, even if it cuts way against the grain, because we do know what you don't know, even though you think that we're wrong, and you know. We've been commissioned, and we've shown you our lives and poured out our lives to gain your spiritual welfare in Christ. That's why we're doing it. We're proven. It's a life of sacrifice. It's trustworthy. Amen? Amen. All right. So let me read Jude, verse 17. And if when my voice goes up, I'm not mad. I'm excited. Go to Jude chapter 7, verse 17. Jude is a great book. My dad taught it on a couple weeks ago and renewed its attention in my mind and helped me remember why I'm sitting here now. Jude is a tiny book right before Revelation. So go to the back of your Bible, go to Revelation, go one page before, book of Jude. There's not even a chapter marking, it's just verse 17. If you get stiff, you can stand up and stretch. If you get offended, please don't leave. That I would ask you, stay and talk to me after. Wait it out till the end. Then if you're offended, we'll talk. All right. Verse 17 in the book of Jude. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be what? Scoffers, mockers, who will follow their own ungodly desires. And these are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. So if you know our theme tonight was the abuse of liberty, these are the guys that are getting in your head, that are following sensual, fleshly instincts. rather than the spirit in the culture that you were adopting as young Christian women. And I'm making the case, we gotta wake up to this. Next verse. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now look at this. Be merciful to those who doubt. Oh, I love that. If there's an unbeliever or a weaker Christian or someone who's confused, mercy, mercy. Let me help you. Ask me and Tammy questions. Pepper us. Come over our house. I'll explain to you again and again and teach your hearts. Snatch others what? What's it say? From the what?
Fire.
Fire. I don't know about you guys, but that's a little aggressive. And I did raise my voice a little bit for the drama of it. Snap. When I first read that, snatch them from the fire. That's why I'm here tonight. Because there's souls that I've been commissioned to shepherd, and part of it is to snatch them for I see, you don't see. I get that. I get that you don't see. I do see the fire, and I want to snatch your soul from it and save them. To others, now listen. Again, this, those who are struggling here, show mercy. Yes, mercy. Love. Don't mistake my tone for lack of mercy. I'm doing this because I love you. You know how uncomfortable this is? There's 40 young ladies in my house, and I'm talking to them about really awkward things I didn't even get to yet. And I have a grad school paper due on Sunday. I love you, but my flesh wants to go take a nap. But my spirit agrees with God's spirit that I have to be with you. So, to others, show mercy. This is not anger and retributions. Mercy mixed with what, though? Fear. Yes, I am very afraid of the spiritual attacks that are assaulting you. That's why I'm sitting here. To others, show mercy, compassion, mixed with fear. Look at this. Look at the emotion. Hating even. Oh, I got to calm down because you're not the guys. I get a little more aggressive with the guys. Hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. He goes, show them mercy, but mix it with fear, and don't even have anything to do even with the clothes that are corrupted with sin. Even the cloth. Hate even the cloth that's been corrupted by sensual, fleshly carnality, sin, and that which is not holy and of Christ. Hate it. That's my commissioning as a pastor. What do you want me to do? I have to teach you. Then it says, great doxology, to him who is able to keep you from falling, ladies, listen, to Christ Jesus, who is able to keep you. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the Father in context. To God the Father, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. See the promise there? He will do it. If you are in Christ, understand tonight, no matter what we talk about, he will present you blameless. Is that good news? That's good news for the pastor too. Because I'm excited. It's going to work. To the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. One of the best doxologies in the entire Bible. That is a great ending of a book. Now, let me again share my heart and then we'll get in here. Everything I just read is my job for you, and it's my passion, and it fuels me, specifically Jude 17. I didn't ask for this, but the Word of God compels it, and I know I keep saying that, but listen, I read this passage as a young man. I read Jude as a young man in college and then just out of college. And I'm sitting here now because when I read Jude then, God wrenched my heart. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. And I'm like, that's Christianity. And it changed my life. And now many years later, I'm called to do it. But that scripture affected me. So that's buried in my heart. So even if you walk out like, man, that was some of that, I don't know. Please understand the love I have for you. Esteem the position of teachers in the church. And give me the benefit of the doubt that what's fueling me is this. A zeal for your soul. A zeal for your soul. All right, let's get in. Is somebody walking around up there?
Yeah.
Who do we got?
Yeah.
J-Man, what's up? All right. That's cool. Yeah. What do you need, bud? Oh, yeah, he needs you. It's got to be quick, though, pal. I need mom.
Everybody needs
mom. It's part of being a mom. All right. What is happening? This is the first point. What is happening when Serge says there's an abuse of liberty? What is going on? Good. Let's define the error that I'm seeing or the danger, which is called the abuse of liberty. Okay? I want to read a key passage. So flip back in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be here briefly, and then we'll spend our time in 1 Corinthians 10. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. If you need me to hold because you're not there yet, just tell me, wait. Got it. Those little ones are so hard to find. I'm constantly like, go eat popcorn, Thessalonians, go eat popcorn. Can never find them.
Galatians 5,
yeah, verse 13. Okay, I'm talking about the abuse of liberty, so let's define what is Christian liberty. So in Galatians 5, verse 13, he says, you, my brothers, were called to be what? Free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, or what's called the flesh in the original translation. Do not indulge the flesh. That's not why you were free. Set free. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, rather, he's giving the opposing side, okay, not to gratify the sinful desires. So I say, live by the Spirit, in verse 16, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh. For the sinful nature, your flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And then he starts to list the obvious acts of the sinful nature, one of which is sensuality, which is just fleshliness, giving in to your fleshly impulses. CC, Grace CC ladies, you are using, listen, you are using your freedom to indulge the sinful nature rather than to serve Christ and pursue holiness. We need to fix that. You are using your freedom to indulge the sinful nature rather than to serve Christ and pursue holiness. And we need to fix that. Pause. Sweetie? Is the door closed at the top?
No. Jack was crying.
Oh, Jack was crying?
She's okay.
All right. We'll keep going for time's sake.
So, can you repeat the last thing you just said?
Yep.
Sorry.
It's all right. Ladies, you are using your freedom to indulge the sinful nature rather than to serve Christ and pursue holiness. There's a word for this, and it's called antinomianism. Antinomianism, which is a fancy way to say against the law. It is a rising philosophy in evangelical circles. It's been around since the beginning, not only of Christianity, but the beginning of Judaism. And it says this, it's this view that Christians are released by grace from the obligation of observing the moral law. I'll repeat that. Antinomianism says that because of God's grace, Jesus' grace, that Christians are released from your obligation to obey God's moral law. That is a false doctrine. You are not released from the obligation to obey God's moral law because of grace. Rather, grace frees you up to obey God's moral law. What then is liberty? Well, let's go back to Galatians 5, verse 1, and we'll find out, Paul will define Christian liberty for us. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well, that's good news. He set us free for freedom. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. So he says, you've been set free in Christ. Stand firm in it, okay? That still didn't define it. What is the freedom? What is the freedom? Mark my words, verse 2. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, which was the old covenant, circumcision, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So what was the problem in Galatia? Here was the problem. The problem in Galatia was the Judaizers were distorting the gospel to make Christians think they had to earn salvation by external works and regulations, particularly circumcision, also what they could or could not eat, dietary restrictions, calendar days, and avoiding association with Gentiles. All these kind of regulations from the old Mosaic Levitical code, the Judaizers were distorting the gospel by saying to Christians, you can have Jesus, right? Paul, didn't Craig preach on this on Sunday? You can have Jesus, but in order to really be saved, you have to add on all those old regulations, specifically circumcision, in order to get saved. They were creating a works-based salvation. But instead, now here's the answer to the question, what is Christian liberty? Paul preached liberty or freedom in the gospel. Freedom. Well, freedom from what? Here's the first thing you're free from. Free from the penalty of the law, or the penalty of sin, which a simpler way to say is God's curse. Early in Galatians, it says, cursed is the one who is hung on a tree, who does not obey everything in the book of the law. So you're under a curse because of your sin, and the freedom we have in Christ frees us from the curse of God's punishment. The second thing we're free from is working for your salvation. Isn't that good news? In other words, seeking justification by your works. You don't have to, you can't. That would be a desperate impossibility. But Christ did it all, so we walk away free. So we're free from the penalty of sin. We're free from the burden of earning heaven. There's no more external religious ceremonies and rituals. No more sacrifices. No more priesthood working at a temple in this world. No more circumcision. Dietary restrictions on pork and things like that, and religious festivals and observances. It's all gone. We don't earn our salvation by works. Christ paid it all. So we have freedom from the penalty of sin. We have freedom from working for our salvation. And we also have freedom from the power of sin. We have freedom from the power of sin. We have freedom to obey because we have the internal spirit. See, Paul goes on later in Galatians to say, you're not under circumcision anymore. You're under the spirit. And since you have the spirit of Christ, well, you can't be overcome by anything, but you overcome all things. So you can now obey. You don't have to sin anymore. You're free to obey. See, the world is under the bondage, right, of the burden of disobedience and rebellion by their flesh. They want to disobey. But Christ has given us his spirit, canceled the penalty of sin, and canceled the power of sin. We're free to obey. So we're free from the penalty, we're free from working for heaven, and we're free from the power of sin. And MacArthur has a great quote that I'm going to read. He says this. So yes, we're free from the law's curse. Because I listened to a sermon on this, guys. I'm not just pulling this stuff out of the air. Okay? MacArthur says, great. We're free from the law's curse. We're free from the law's condemnation. We're free from the bondage of the law. We're free from rituals that were externals in the Old Testament. Those were the things that Jews had, those are the things that the Jews had come to Galatia to try to impose on the Gentiles. You got to earn heaven. You're not saved unless you get circumcised. Christ wasn't really sufficient. By the way, all the old Mosaic code, we got to do again. Paul says, we're free from all those things, but mark this. You are not free from the holy standards of God. You are not free. Did you hear that? Paul teaches this. Mark this. You are not free from the holy standards of God. You are not free. Then he asks this question. What happens when the Spirit takes up residence in your heart? And he quotes the prophecy from Ezekiel chapter 36. Helen, you want me to grab a chair from outside? Or are you good just sitting down here? No, do it up. Do it up. It's fine. As long as you're comfortable. Ezekiel 36 prophesies the coming of the new covenant. He'll take out a heart of stone, replace it with a heart of flesh, and give you the Spirit of God. It's the new covenant. He was predicting the new covenant, okay? Our gospel in Christ. And it says this in Ezekiel 36, when he gives you the new heart and the new spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will cause you, listen, to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So, according to Ezekiel 36, did the Spirit and the New Covenant just release you from the obligations of the law or compel you and liberate you to actually do them? Which one was it? Release or empower you to obey? Empowered you to obey the law. Now, MacArthur continues, if you're a true believer, you have not been set free from responsibility and duty to God. You have been set free from your, I love MacArthur, he's so good. You've been set free from, listen, your iniquity addiction. You're addicted to sin. So am I. And the new covenant, the Spirit of God, the new heart, the gospel of Jesus has freed you from your iniquity addiction to now do what honors God. Freedom for the Christian is freedom from sin and death and hell and all those external religious features intended to show us our wickedness and make us desperate for Christ. I just added that. Sorry. Freedom for the Christian is freedom from sin and death and hell and all the external religious features. Now, how are we then to understand sanctification, which means to grow in holiness? We have been set free with a new heart and the Holy Spirit living in us, listen, to willingly and joyfully obey the law of God. To obey. We've been set free to obey. I keep saying the same thing. This is our freedom. Then he goes back to Galatians 5 and reads the very verse I'm talking about. You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. MacArthur says, stop there. That puts an end to all antinomian thinking. Antinomian thinking. Remember, antinomian, the word I told you before was, grace means no more law. And MacArthur says Galatians 5 puts a stop to that. We throw out that kind of thinking. Because in Galatians 5 he says, you've been set free, but do not use that to give an opportunity for your flesh. Okay, so to sum it up, freedom from sin and for obedience, that is Christian liberty. We've got to reprogram our minds because you've been told your whole life in evangelicalism that Christian liberty means you can't tell me what to do and I can do whatever I want to do because there's no more rules. And that is the wrong definition of Christian liberty. Christian liberty is this: freedom from sin and for obedience. Now, the scriptures warn us of the opposite, this antinomian doctrine, this anti-law doctrine I've been warning you about that I think you're succumbing to, abusing liberty, pushing the boundaries of what is appropriate for a young Christian woman. Okay? These doctrines and false teachers we were warned about in scripture, not just from Paul, and the false doctrine, here it is, of pursuing pleasure in the name of freedom. I'll say it again. Pursuing pleasure, carnality, what feels good to our flesh, immodesty, pursuing that in the name of freedom. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Listen, Peter says this about the teachers. These are waterless springs, these guys, these false teachers. They are mists driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. In your mind while hearing this, can you please compare this to your grace pastors? And me. I'm being bold tonight. Throw me in there. I read you what Paul described of himself in 2 Corinthians 11. Sleepless nights and sacrificing for you. This is not us. These are the false guys that are lying to you through the culture. Listen. Waterless springs, mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For, speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice, right, by sensual passions of the flesh, those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Let me translate that in a simpler language. He said they're enticing Christians who are barely escaping from the world, and they're enticing them with sensual passions of the flesh, tempting them with worldly things away from the way of Christ. They promise them, look at this, it says it in the Bible, I'm reading 2 Peter. They promise them what? Freedom. Whoa. Does that blow your mind? Maybe not because you're not reading it. That's okay. I have it in front of me. It's so hard to listen when people read at you. These false teachers are promising literally what we're talking about tonight. When MacArthur read this verse, I'm like, why didn't I see that verse? Right, look. I'll read it again. They entice you by sensual passions of the flesh, those who are barely escaping from the world, and they promise you freedom, right? Christian freedom. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So if you're giving into the flesh, that's not Christianity. That's falling to the false teachers. All right, that was the first thing. Here's the second point. We're going along. Yeah?
I'm a little confused with the, we're saved by grace and faith in Jesus.
Yes.
What about that verse that talks about faith without works?
Is dead. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Well done, Melissa. Thank you. James chapter 2.
Okay.
Faith in the Christian sense has to be active. It's not just a word of faith, but a living faith. So you're actually obeying Christ. That's precisely what we're talking about tonight.
Okay.
Great point. And if you have more questions.
So those deeds, the actions.
The actions don't save you, but they authenticate your faith. They prove you're a Christian.
Okay.
Yes, great point. Okay, so, all right, Serge, you gave us a strange, long, compelling comment on your heart at the beginning in pastoring, and then you told us about how freedom frees us from sin, but then should not lead to, like, fleshly behavior. So how do we put this into practice? That's the second point. How do we practice Christian liberty? Because we do have it. So how do we practice Christian liberty?